I seem to remember watching for you out in the crowd. I thought the crowd was going to sweep you away, and then they gave up.
Well, yeah, there wasn't enough humanity. What Chef is referring to is we were going through the market, and Chef Bassan said, listen, we're going to have to pick up the pace a little bit here because Muslim prayers are going to get out. And when they get out and you're stuck in a marketplace, there's going to be a wave of humanity probably like you've never seen. Of course, we didn't listen, and I got swept up in the current. And I almost ended up about a gate away. It was really – but back to the serious part of it, we are here with Chef Moshe Bassan. We've got one more segment with him. He's got a big dinner. He's got all these people waiting. What Chef is referring to is we were going through the market, and Chef Bassan said, listen, we're going to have to pick up the pace a little bit here because Muslim prayers are going to get out. And when they get out and you're stuck in a marketplace, there's going to be a wave of humanity – probably like you've never seen. Of course, we didn't listen, and I got swept up in the current, and I almost ended up about a gate away. It was really – but back to the serious part of it, we are here with Chef Moshe Bassan. We've got one more segment with him. He's got a big dinner. He's got all these people waiting for him, and he's given us so much time already, Chef Eric. But you had a question. You got this quizzical look on your face.
Is this about wood sorrel?
Wood sorrel. What about?
Well, no. I mean, my question about wood sorrel, and the reason I'm so curious about it, is that I've seen it before, but I've never known what to do with it.
So I will give you a soup. Marak ham tzitzim. You take this wood sorrel, cut it roughly. You can take a cream. I'm making my own non-dairy cream by that I'm mashing in a good blender almonds and water. But you can take just a good cream, put it in a blender, but you have to start with having a vegetable stock that will be already boiling. Cut like half of the quantity of your wood sorrel and throw it to the soup. The other half, put it in the blender with the cream, and now test and fix the test in your pot, and then just add the cream with the wood sorrel, because the wood sorrel, when it's cooked, the beautiful red color, green color is dying. This that you meshed for with the almond milk or the cream, it will remain for a while beautiful green with this white creamy background, and it's ready. That's all. So simple.
And you know, it's interesting. You talk about creating the sort of the almond milk, and it's actually very common in the U.S. now. More and more people are going away from dairy at all, so you can go to the store and buy very good almond milk at this point that's kosher. And
wait a minute. Wait, why? I would never go to the store and buy something off the shelf and cut the shortcut way. Let's say I wanted to make the almond milk like you make it. What's the water to almonds ratio?
Like one-third and two-thirds of water, or sometimes three-quarters. It's depend if you need it like chef or like the fat man.
I would like it like the fat man because I like a creamier, richer.
So less water, more almonds. Don't take the blanched almond. Buy almond raw. Soak them for a few minutes in boiling water. Just pour on them, and then you remember what's happened with your garlic in the shuk? So push it, and you'll have the skin in one hand, and just keep the almond on the other side, and put it in a blender, good blender, cover it, start with low speed, and go up, up, up. In 2 minutes, it will become white, and it will make a foam like a milk, and it will... Even got it can get like milk that you leave outside, and it will spoil. So, and it's very healthy, much more than any cow milk. That it's really something that I will say not healthy. I'm preferring always goat milk or this milk. But you want to talk also about the porcelain. And the reason that I'm the only one that is talking, because I'm eating it. Porcelain, the Greek name for porcelain is glistrida. Glistrida means slippery, glitch. The Greek mothers or teachers, when a child like you talking too much, they say, oh, you ate glistrida today. Because it have this slippery, slimy texture. And saying that when you'll eat it, your tongue will release and you'll talk and talk and talk. This is me.
Well, listen, if you think you're going to replace me on the show, Chef, you can forget about it. You're not fat enough.
I'm on the right way. But I don't think that I want to replace you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But one of the things I was very intrigued with, Chef, is in the marketplace, you were going through several things. One of the things that I noticed that I've never seen before are figs, but when you had the figs, they were white. They were looked like powdered sugar, but I'd never seen figs sold that way. And then I want to finish up with olives.
Okay, figs, olives, grapes, wheat, barley, dates, pomegranate are the seven species that the land is blessed by. These figs were naturally dried on the tree when this farmer, the lady that was selling them, she was doing them, and she was mentioning that she have to protect them from birds that coming to eat them and from bees, so they will cut them and she will spread on them flour to protect them, not to stuck each to the other, and also to protect them from these bees especially, that they love them as we love them. Olives.
Yes, I gotta say, you said that We had a rare opportunity to see some raw olives, because this is a time when they're harvesting raw olives. And I saw these beautiful green raw olives, and you told me they were going to be bitter when they're raw and green. So you said, here, try a little bit. And, of course, I don't do anything in little bits, but, my God, when I bit into that olive, I'm still tasting it.
Yes, from these olives you can make oil. It's better when they're much more ripe. And you were asking me if there is species of green, red, and black olives. So they're all starting green and going. And then I found for you, if you remember, some of these black ones, if you remember.
And what did you do with it?
Since I'm cooking sometimes, I took some garlic from the child that was peeling them there, and I was adding some salt to that, and in your fingers, you did tapenade.
Well, Chef Eric, you added the garlic, but Chef Eric was shooting the garlic across the room.
It's okay that it didn't hurt this guy that was...
Well, tell us a little bit about that, because that's a part of a garlic we never see back home.
Oh, I think that it's there, but you don't see it, because sometimes they're cutting... you know, you should try to find in the spring some green garlic. The green garlic is delicious and it's not so strong. Like for our tomato soup with mint, we're using as well as we can the green one. So on the top of the stump, above the bulb, like an inch or 2 inches, there is always a fat piece in this stamp, and most of the people are throwing it, but if you'll dig in, you'll find one or two different, tiny, beautiful, and mostly, most of the time, they are round. They are not like the regular teeth of we say we call the cloves of garlic teeth.
Well, my friends, you poked me in the belly. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, the that garlic it was softer, but it had a lot of flavor to it. I mean, I tasted it. It's not as bitter as the maybe the older garlic or the garlic that forms the head itself. This is like a little, it's like a little baby sitting there, and it was it was softer. I mean, you could smash it with your fingers. Where a regular clove, you can't necessarily smash. And I also want to mention that I did try the green olive as well, except I took the tiniest little bit, and it was incredibly bitter. So what you bit off, I don't envy you for that. So,
by the way, just to remind you, later on we found this lady, the peddler, that was selling already from this season ready olives that we bought. So you can test the bitterness, but this is, I like it the most because they're not really ready, and are observing much more from the aroma of the real olive.
You know, this has been an amazing, amazing segment, as all of them have been with Chef Moshe Bassan. And Chef, we thank you so much. It's I know you've got a Shabbat dinner that you're doing, and these people have been so patient sitting around here. And we really appreciate your time. You are a very special person. You did a tremendous job with us today, and you really, to open up our first show in Jerusalem, I don't think in the country of Israel we could have found a better chef to start with.
You'll find a lot of wonderful chefs, really, but I think that, and I mean it, you also inspired me. It was so nice to work with you. So I got it. It's not something that is designed or... And it's always depend who is around you. And I'm so happy, and I'm really lucky that also my client, that you saw them, are sort of people that hugging you, if they are touching you or not, they are hugging you. And I think that the first thing, even yesterday when we were talking on the phone in the car, I had this feeling, oh, I asked her, I yelled it, are you a few days already with them? She says yes. And I say, are they sababa? Sababa, it's a new old word that the young people using, and it means, are they gorgeous and terrific? And
well, gorge is part of the word that I think works. But from our crew, Chef, to you, Shabbat Shalom, thank you so much. You are an inspiration, and everyone that hears this around the world will now realize Israel's on the cutting edge of some incredible culinary because of chefs who started MGM and went on. Thank you so much, Chef.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.